Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 1st, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter May 1st, 2020. The transition to the new state is happening for the first time and is therefore challenging, since we are all being included in a common connection, like cogwheels in a transmission device, consciously, which was not the case before. And we don't know what to do. Everyone thinks that we should conform to the old order or state. But this will bring forth a new virus. We are about to see great changes in the world. The world is revolving, adapting to the conditions of the last generation, gradually showing us its different sides. This is difficult and confusing to a person living today, not knowing the aims of what is happening and what form the world will assume. Imagine that you are 10 cogwheels bound together within one mechanism, in which each one spins all the rest as it turns. Before turning, I must consider how I will thereby make everyone turn, and whether this will benefit everyone. I am forbidden from making the smallest motion unless I take everyone into account. From Twitter, May 1st, 2020. The Creator stopped us before the abyss. How would you like to see the next stage of human development? The Creator gave us great help. He stopped the whole world before the abyss, which we, in our egoism, almost brought to complete destruction. At the last moment, the Creator stopped us with the help of the coronavirus, forced us to calm down, to relax, to sit at home, and to think about our lives so that we would never return to the old world built on egoism. What would have to change in our world so that it would become better, kinder, more correct, and more just? What should we ask the Creator together? Indeed, today for the first time we see how the Creator is immediately engaged in all of humanity, around the entire globe. We want to fix the connection between us, and it will already establish our whole life. Can I take care of everyone and think that my neighbor and the whole world have everything that I have? Am I ready to share with others, worry about them just like for my children? After all, I won't take the last and deprive my child, I will provide for him first. The law of love requires such an attitude toward everyone. Do we understand that tomorrow we must become other people, both in thought and in an action? Thus, our society will move forward. We are not talking about forced distribution, socialization of banks and enterprises. We just want to ask the Creator to change human society so that it leads to a change in relations within the family, between countries, from the internal correction in each person spreading outward. Maybe the coronavirus will help us with this. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson March 29, 2020, Writings of Rabash, according to what is explained concerning love thy friend as thyself. Gift from nature. Remark, we are always internally separated from each other, no one considers anyone, and so on. Now nature itself shows us this in the external manifestation, forcing us to stay at home. My comment, nature, as if, is telling us, if you cannot be correctly connected with each other, then stay away from each other, step aside. I think this is a great gift from nature. Imagine that if before we invested 80% of our efforts in suppressing nature, making it worse for people, for society, and for countries, constantly producing weapons, destroying natural resources, and so on, then now we already feel what positive consequences there are when people just stay at home. Remark, I did not think about it, but it seems to me that almost everywhere military conflicts have stopped. I do not have exact data, but I think that is true. My comment, what is there to fight for? Imagine that you occupied another country, what would you do now? These are all just toys to warm human egoism a little. From CapTV's Coronavirus is Changing Reality, March 19, 2020. The Times of Israel published my new article COVID-19 and Antisemitism, An Unseen Connection. The Coronavirus Disease 2019, or COVID-19, like any crisis in history since the inception of the Jewish people, will ignite a wave of antisemitism. We can already see it budding on social media, traditional media outlets, in graffiti, and in aggression on the streets. People don't know why they hate Jews, so they cling to every pretext to vent their innate odium toward this enigmatic nation that seems to them as though its people collaborate to control the world, while in truth, many Jews haven't the slightest empathy toward their own people or their own nation-state. There is no point reasoning with anti-Semites, their hatred is irrational. Whatever reason they provide, its opposite has already been used as a pretext for hating Jews just as bitterly. When two opposite reasons explain the same phenomenon, it means that neither is correct. When it comes to anti-Semitism, there is a three-stage process of revealing it. First there is a dormant, subconscious hatred, then there is a trigger in the form of some crisis, and finally the Jews are accused of causing it. Jews don't know why people hate them. They didn't commit any of the contradictory accusations that anti-Semites throw at them. And because anti-Semites hate them for a different reason than the one they articulate, refuting it does not mitigate the loathing. The real reason for Jew hatred is rooted deep in the past, in ancient Babylon, the cradle of civilization. Back then, Abraham, from whom emerged Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, was deeply troubled by growing social tensions he had observed among his people, the Babylonians. After deep scrutiny, he had realized that they were becoming increasingly self-centered and called on them to rise above that trend and restore their union. Not many people listened to Abraham. He was driven out of Babylon and wandered toward the land of Canaan. Along the way, he explained his findings and invited people to join his group. The only condition he had required was agreement with the principle of unity above all differences. Abraham's entourage grew and prospered. At the foot of Mount Sinai, they pledged to be as one man with one heart and were officially declared a nation, the nation of Israel. At that event, they were also tasked with sharing that unity with the rest of the world, as Abraham had intended to do in the first place. That was the meaning of Israel's mission to be a light unto nations. In the meantime, the people who remained in Babylon and did not follow Abraham wallowed in unbridled egoism and developed resentment toward those who followed that other idea, of unity above all differences. That ancient score is the root of the hatred we now call anti-Semitism. Within any non-Jew who hates Jews, or a Jew who dislikes his or her own people, there is an unconscious struggle between those two approaches, the Babylonian me first, or the Jewish we first. The struggle that unfolds within them is the reason why Jews are so often accused of selfishness and partiality toward their own folk, since the world judges them by a much higher moral standard than it judges any other nation. But even perfect Jewish morality and absolute selflessness will not dissolve Jew hatred. The Jews became a nation only after they pledged wholeheartedly to be as one man with one heart. Upon their declaration of nationhood, the Jews were tasked with being a light unto nations, namely to share with the nations of the world the way to achieve unity. That task coincided with Abraham's initial aspiration to share his idea of unity with all his fellow Babylonians. Especially today, if the Jews carry out their task, it will end the resentment that the descendants of the Babylonians who did not follow Abraham feel toward his descendants. It would disband anti-Semitism. Now, in the days of COVID-19, the world feels more than ever that we are all in one boat, that there is a hole in the boat and no one knows what's causing it or how to cork it. They blame the Jews for it, as always, and make up countless conspiracy theories to justify it. But in truth, the Jews' only fault is that they aren't setting an example of unity above differences. This is all that the world needs in order to overcome the coronavirus or any other plight that's lurking in the darkness of the future. If the human race were united, it would be no problem to overcome any crisis. Mutual responsibility is the most required commodity these days, and no one will be able to pump out that resource until the Jews show the way by setting an example. Therefore, the only thing that Jews must do today is unite among themselves in order to set an example of unity to the rest of the world. And when the world unites, the troubles will be all gone. The Essence and the Root of Unity, Part 7. Unite in order to rise to the level of man. It is said that unification creates life on a new level. This refers to unification above our egoism when we do not destroy it, but accept it as the left line against the right one. The fact is that this is not an instinctive unification that exists within a certain framework in animals. It involves growth on a completely different level, the level of Adam, man, from the word Dome, similar to the Creator. In order to accomplish this, we cannot use any earthly sciences or techniques. Here we must be guided by a very special science, by a special method, called the science of Kabbalah. When with the help of special forces revealed by us at a higher level of nature, we are looking for the means that will help us to unite and create the entity called a soul or Adam. The feeling of people who have succeeded in uniting in this way and have balanced their natural egoistic power with the altruistic power in nature is called life, the upper force, the Creator. This is the next, fourth level of our development, which exists above inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature. This is the level of man. From CapTV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, Part 7, March 24, 2019. Michael Leitman, on Quora, is Kabbalah mysticism just a method which states that the human mind uses a constant and repetitious pattern when it thinks about any subject? Kabbalah is not mysticism. It is a science that involves the attainment of the perception and sensation of the causal forces in our lives, while we're alive in this world. Regarding what Kabbalah states about the human mind, it relates to the human mind as a program existing below desire, and that the mind belongs to the subconscious. Kabbalah has no engagement in the modus operandi of the brain as a calculator, nor in muscle memory, nor in any memory mechanisms. Its sole engagement is with the soul. The desire, which precedes the mind, is the soul. It has no place in our corporeal body nor in our mind. The desire was created by the Creator, which is a force of nature governing our reality. The desire is egoistic by nature, that is, aimed solely at self-benefit, and with the help of the method of Kabbalah, we can invert the desire into its altruistic opposite, where it matches the same form as the Creator, a quality of love and giving. By changing the intention upon the desire from self-benefit to benefiting others and everything and everyone outside of oneself, we then start feeling the causal forces in our lives, which Kabbalah calls the upper world or spiritual world, and we then start understanding why and how everything functions the way that it does. Everything else related to matter, including the mind, is absent from Kabbalah study, and it is of no interest to Kabbalists. We are only interested in the pure desire, which is independent of any form of matter, and we explore and master it as such. How not to go astray? Question: is it possible to go astray in the study of Kabbalah and how do we avoid it? Answer: you can go astray if you start to tear yourself away from the teacher, if you begin to believe that you know the path better than him. It is impossible to know better than him because he has passed all this already. Nothing depends on the mind. By the way, in Kabbalah, there were cases when a student turned out to be more subtle and with a sharper mind than the teacher. However, the fact is that the teacher has experience, and this is the most important thing. In Kabbalah, the most preferred one is the one who has more experience. From CapTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 1, 2020. The attainment of unity is the revelation of the Creator. Question: is the spiritual state predetermined and we simply need to find it? Answer: the spiritual state that we descended from really exists. It is a state of unity that filled us not too long ago and is in the general soul of Adam. Read in the drawing, the attainment of this unity is the revelation of the Creator. We attain unity when we are actually distant and totally opposite from each other. The distances between us will continue to grow all the time. We will look for the center of the ten and its circles will seemingly begin to expand. This means that the differences between us will continue to grow more and more, and we need to try to find a common attribute between us, unity. This does not mean that you have to be like me and another has to be like someone else and so on, no. This means finding a state, like in the game when you are looking and want to catch some goal, but they are all scattered. Here it is necessary to make you feel, how can I combine these goals? And when you catch this point, you will begin to feel that you have revealed the Creator. The unity of all the opposites that complement each other is the Creator. It is when they complement each other. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 12, 2020.